us pray. God of light and love, we come this morning with hopeful hearts in the brightness of your glory. Open our eyes to the light of your dawn, that our souls may be flooded with love and mercy and joy. Open our hearts to receive your message of comfort and peace and security, that we may find rest in your loving, protective presence. Open our spirits to follow the path you put before us, that we may lead lives committed to your way. Amen. To those who sit in darkness, light has dawned.
To those who dwell in gloom and despair, God's glorious presence has appeared.
God is indeed our light and our salvation.
We will follow, unafraid, where God and Jesus lead us.
Let us worship our God of light and promise.
Let us celebrate the hope and joy of our salvation.
Let us join together in hymn 156, I Love to Tell the Story.
I love to tell the story of love's beginning.
Let's share that story and that love in the passing of the peace.
At this time, we invite the children to come forward for the children's moments. Well, children, I've got an object lesson for you today. Now, this is one of Mrs. Lay's favorite trinkets that she got over the Christmas season. You see this little guy? Now, watch this. Let me see if I can put him right here. Everybody can see this. All right, you ready for this? Can you see that? Can you see why Laura loved it, Margaret? Isn't that the neatest thing? But now, watch when the light goes away. Oh, now come on, he must have charged up, Bob. Must have a rechargeable in there. Well, at any rate, enough. We're going to put you away now. He's ruining the object lesson. Because the point is that with the light upon him, he dances, doesn't he? He dances. Now, the lesson today, we're continuing in the season of Epiphany, and it's an old Greek word. Has a prefix epi and phanos, for essentially for face, and what it is, it's an awareness. It's a sudden awareness, an insight, if you will. We say it today like aha, aha, and the whole season of Epiphany is the realization that Jesus is the promised light of the world. He has come. This is God in the flesh. And so as the three wise men followed the light of, that was given to them to guide them to the light of the world, we are invited to follow the light of the world, to follow Jesus. Because when that love of Jesus shines upon us like light in darkness, that's when we have a reason to dance. And especially in the times of gloom and doom and darkness, then especially the light of Jesus comes into our world to give us a hope that nothing in this world can ever take away from us. Because nothing in this world can ever snuff out the light of God in Jesus Christ our Savior. And that's the light that shines in your hearts. So let the light of Jesus shine in our hearts so that we too, like that little guy there, can have a cause for dance and for song and for joy. Let's make a circle here. We'll thank the Lord for the way that His love shines like light. Heavenly Father, we have seen the brightness of your light in Jesus. We have seen the greatest love that the world has ever known. We look upon the cross this morning, Lord God. We see just how much that you love us in Jesus. So may his love fill our hearts like light shining in darkness. And may that love, may that light be reflected on the paths of others. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for his glory, we pray this. Amen. Now, we want to give you your treats. And then I got Bailey's going to help us this morning with the microphone. Now, everybody, go ahead, pick out your stuff. You go ahead, too, if you want, Allison. Here, let me put it right between both of you. There you go. he down in there? There you go. All right. Chloe, let's see if you can get you a couple there. And you two, you should go right ahead, Bailey. All right, girls. Can you see him there? Yeah, what's this get? How's that? Is that good? You may return to your pews, and I will get Bailey the microphone. Not sure if we have any visitors here today. We always prepare. We always stand ready for our visitors. So in my eyesight, sometimes I don't quite see. So just in case, we want to welcome you. And there's a visitor's card. I did get one recently. And just fill that out. Put your telephone number on there. The ushers will come by in a little bit for the morning offering. Drop that in the plate. They are wonderful about getting those cards to me. And then I get that call out to you. So we take questions from you to get you better acquainted. This portion of the service is the joys and the concerns. If you have a joy, maybe it's a birthday announcement, a wedding anniversary, perhaps it's a testimony how the Lord, that light of God is shining on your path, and you want to lift up that testimony. Raise your hand. Maybe it's a concern. Maybe someone that you love is sick. You want to lift them up in prayer and alert us to that need. Raise your hands. Joys or concerns, keep them up so that Bailey can see you and she will bring you the microphone. Joys and concerns, and I see one for Professor Bowers right here.
Yes, sir. Thursday, my Aunt Mary Jane Bowers in Huntington had a stroke, and she basically was unresponsive, not able to, I understand, communicate or anything. Anyway, so Aunt Eileen called me, and we got the prayer chain going and the church and everything. Aunt Eileen called me yesterday, and now this is the true work of God. She said Mary Jane was sitting up in the bed, talking to Kathy, her daughter. Oh, and I forgot to say she had pneumonia on Thursday, and Saturday when they checked her, there was no signs of pneumonia, and she was responsive and talking, and so there is definitely God answering prayer.
Praise the Lord. How about that, Keith? Wonderful, wonderful testimony. That is a testimony. Praise the Lord. Any other testimonies, joys, or concerns? Yes, Karen.
Gail's brother Dave and Gary both have a birthday tomorrow, and Dave's not doing good at all. He's sleeping like 20 hours out of the day.
Oh, bless their hearts. Well, we do, therefore, give them a wish them a heartfelt birthday, and we will keep them in prayer at the same time. So that truly is joy and a concern mix, and that's a lot of the journey of life. Maybe you have another one of those to share. If you wish, just raise your hands. Joys or concerns. And I hear Lynn right here. Thank you, Bailey. By the way, it's great to have my buddy the Snowbird back from Florida. Don, you had to be thinking though. What you think of these temps? This been cold down there, hadn't it, brother? Oh, it's 81. Well, so much for trying to make him feel good.
I'd like to ask for prayer for a classmate of mine, Randy Davis. He's struggling with bone cancer, and the outlook is not very good, promising. So if you would lift Randy Davis and his family up in prayer, I appreciate it.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Lynn. Yes, we do. We lift them up in prayer, so we've been alerted to some needs here for our prayers, to focus our prayers. Any other joys or concerns? Yes, yes, sir, Don.
Over the Christmas holiday, Nancy and I were going out to eat with some of our family, and she was in the back seat, and as we were parking the car, she says, "Don, I think I'm having a heart attack." And looked in the back seat, and she was holding herself and really in pain. And so we took her to the hospital. She spent the night. They did all kinds of tests, and it ended up being a medicine problem. They changed her medication, and she's great today.
Well, praise the Lord that she's great.
Yes.
But that had to be a very anxious moment for both of you.
A great joy. And she told me afterwards, she said, "You know, when I was in the back seat and I thought I was going to die," she said, "I prayed, dear God, I'm ready to go. but please take me now.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
I told her, I said, yeah. Don't you ever pray that prayer.
Well, she had to be hurt. But she had to be hurting, didn't she, buddy? Well, God bless you, Don, and thank you for sharing. Praise the Lord that she's okay. But yes, indeed, when you get, she must have been a mighty, mighty sick woman, hurting badly with that kind of pain. We'll continue to keep her in our prayers. Any others to be lifted up? Well, can we lift up a thanksgiving for Bailey here? Wonderful discipleship. Thank you, young lady, for serving the Lord. Thank you. Let us turn to the Lord now in silent prayer. And now once again, O God, for the light that your words bring to our understanding, for the hope that your word brings to our fear, for the guidance of your words, for the guidance that they bring to our pathways, we give you thanks. We pray that you will always direct us to the light of the world, that we may follow that light. Deepen our faith as we now pray the prayer that Jesus himself has invited us to pray with him. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us stand together now for this hymn of preparation. 189, Fairest Lord Jesus.
Thank you.
Please be seated. I want to thank Linda Bear for being so patient with me. Worked so hard getting these bulletins prepared, and I elected to use the lectionary reading from last Sunday because it is one of the key verses throughout the season of Epiphany. So we did not want to miss this. I lift it up, therefore, for your hearing this morning, Matthew, the 4th chapter, verses 12 through 23. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might now be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and the shadow of death, light has dawned. And from that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." And as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And as he went from there, he saw two brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called to them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. May God add the blessing of his Holy Spirit to the reading of God's holy word. Thank you. Thank you, Keith. And thank you, Linda. And thank you, choir. Well, at least we got a little break, you know, with the cold. Because it has been, as I said, Gail, as I was teasing you all last week here, that those that were able to make it here, when you see me, the sweaty guy, complaining about the cold, it's cold. It's cold. And, of course, there were a lot of the how cold is it remarks. How cold is it? It was so cold that you had to open the fridge to heat the house. Kind of sounds like where we're living. Yeah, I mean, I hate to say it. It's so cold that you bake a cake, set it out to cool, and 10 minutes later, it's frosted. Now, see, some of them I tell for me, Danny. Some of them I tell for me. Okay? It was so cold that I chipped a tooth on my soup. You know what? I think I better wind it up. Don't you think, Bob? I better about wind it up, John. It was so cold that the UN weapons inspectors suddenly decided that chemical weapons might be hidden in Hawaii. I tell some definitely for me. I tell some. Now, this is true. This is no joke. This is no joke. Did you catch on the cancer? I called over, by the way, got it all lined up, Margaret, with all the stations. I'm in the protocol now. And I got to talking with 33, and of course, I said, hey, I know Melissa. I said, tell her the preacher said, hey. And I said, I got to ask you, because I understand protocol. I do understand, and I respect it, because let me just ask you, young lady, did my eyes see the announcement on the cancellations? Tim Smith's ice fishing classes closed. How many of you saw that? Well, when that happened, you know, I wasn't born yesterday, Danny. So I said to Laura, I said, baby doll, I said, how about you go ahead and check Tim Smith's website? See, there is no website. So I think we had definitely been had. But man, it's been cold. And of all the years for propane, right? Right? The quote unquote shortage. I know some of us are kind of dubious about that. And I say I don't like to brag about getting Laura a Valentine's Day gift. But man, when it's very expensive, I just kind of like the word to get out how generous a husband I am. And I'm buying her this year propane gas. And it's going to cost thousands of dollars. Well, these are tough times. These are tough times. And yet, pales in comparison, obviously, to what the children of Israel were going through at the time of the prophecy of the coming Messiah through the word of the Lord that spoke through his prophet Isaiah. And even for our our grandparents, I would say, I was going to say great-grandparents, Warren, but I would go ahead and say just grandparents, what they suffered through, the hardships they suffered through. Well, the good news, the spiritual word to feed us, the bread of heaven that will feed us, is that as Isaiah has lifted up in the Word of God, and here I'm going to quote this one more time. Listen to these words: Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And furthermore, for those who sat in the region in the shadow of death, upon them light is dawned. That light has come in Jesus the Christ. And we know that there is no power of darkness. Nothing can separate us from that light. Nothing can snuff out that light of God that shines in Jesus Christ, our Savior. History records a most fascinating footnote. It was during the dark winter of 1864. You know, I lived just north of Nashville. You know, Kentucky was a Union state. But I mean to tell you, my big brother, who was born and raised in Cincinnati, he was a great ball player, by the way. Great, great athlete, unlike his little brother. You know, Dave, I've been a worthless athlete. But Jackie was a star. I mean, he could hit it out of the park. And that saved him a little bit, because other than that, he got a lot of vicious notes put on his locker. Bullies will not disappear until the Lord returns. And I'm not trivializing it. I'm not allowing it. I mourn for it. I'm afraid we'll always have the bullies. They're going to find a way. And they made life miserable on Jackie. Yankee, go home. Yankee, go home. And that's all my big brother sometimes would hear. So even though Kentucky was a Union state, you know, it was still pretty much, it was pretty much divided, Gail. And we are coming upon the 150th anniversary of Gettysburg. But listen to the footnote of history. It is a true story. I'm not making this up. During the dark winter of 1864, 150 years ago, at Perrysburg, Virginia, the Confederate Army of Robert E. Lee was facing the Union divisions of General Ulysses S. Grant. By this time, the Civil War was 3.5 years old, and the glorious charge had long since given way to the muck and mud of trench warfare. Well, late one evening, one of Lee's generals, Major General George Pickett, received word that his wife had given birth to a beautiful baby boy. Up and down the line, Southerners began building huge bonfires to celebrate the event. And these bonfires did not go unnoticed in the Union camps. And they say a very nervous Grant sent out a reconnaissance patrol to see what this was all about. Well, the scouts came back with the message that Pickett had had a son. Lo and behold, Grant and Pickett had been classmates back at West Point, knew each other well, and believe it or not, to honor this joyous occasion, Grant himself ordered two that bonfires be built. What an amazing night of history in one of the most tragic wars ever fought. On both sides of the line now, fires are burning. No shots were fired. No ugly words yelled back and forth. No war fought. Only light that night. Only light. Celebrating the birth of a child. Now we know that that light, of course, did not last. Eventually, those bonfires burned down, and once again, the darkness took over. The darkness of the night, the darkness of the war. But the gospel, from the gospel writer Mark today, from Matthew rather, is that the light of God that shines in the Savior, the Messiah has come, and this light in Jesus is not a flickering flame, but an eternal flame that no power of darkness in this world will ever be able to snuff out the light in Jesus Christ. The worst that it could do happened on Calvary. And Jesus did suffer, and he did die on that cross, and he was buried. But 3 days later, God raised him from the dead to proclaim that this is the Messiah, this is the light of the world, and nothing shall separate us from that light. And that light shines, and especially shines during the times of trouble, right? I know Tawna, Fritzy, and Fritzy was hoping to make it, and obviously, I mean, it's just terrible out still. But she has given the testimony again and again in our Bible studies. Nikki, you've heard her testimonies. And of course, she's one of the families in this church for which my heart will always ache. She's one of those families that, just imagine that their son Randy died. And on that very same day, later that evening, that was when Brian's daddy died. So Brian lost a son and his father on the very same day. And Fritzy has said, you know, Greg, I never bemoan to God the things that I've lost. She says, what I do, I thank God continually for the precious memories of the gifts with which Brian and I were bestowed. They may have been a short-lived gift, but she said, I thank God for the blessings that he has given to me, bestowed upon me. And I ask only one thing of the Lord, she said, Gregory. I ask one thing, that the Lord will be with me, that the Lord will always be there to take me by the hand and to guide me and hold me up and give me strength. That testimony, that her testimony brings light to my heart, Donna, Nikki. It brings light to me. And Nikki, I know you just so recently. You know the importance of the light. Where would we be without the light of the Savior in our lives? Again and again I hear it from children of the kingdom. Where would we be without that light to shine upon us? We'll never have to know that. And therefore, the light is always here. So we must follow that light before we come for the Lord's Supper, for the communion. Max Lucado has told this story for years, but actually it's not Max's story. It belongs to Frank Koch, and I don't have my Annie. Dad's sick. You tell him I told a good sailor story, because Frank Koch was a former sailor, and he related to the story that Max Lucado has been blessed by. He tells the story of being out on maneuvers. There were two battleships out at sea for roughly 3 days. Heavy weather, and Frank Koch was on the lead battleship. Well, as I said, it was heavy weather, and one particular night, patchy fog, very dangerous, lead battleship. And so Frank Koch was on the bridge. And because the weather was so bad, because it was so hard to see, the captain remained on the bridge, just to keep an eye on things. Frank said it was just after dark, the lookout on the wing reported, "Light, bearing on the starboard bow, Captain. Is it steady or moving astern?" the captain asked. "Steady, Captain," came the report. Frank said that was very, very bad news, because what this meant, they were on a dangerous collision course with that ship that obviously they could not see still because of the heavy weather and the fog. So the captain brought a signalman to the bridge. He said, "Signalman, send out message. Send, quote, 'We are on a collision course. Advisable you change your course by 20 degrees, unquote. Just like that, Brother Warren, signal was returned promptly. Quote, "Advisable you change your course 20 degrees, unquote. Well, Frank said the captain was a little bit ruffled by this. He said, "Signalman, send, quote, 'I'm a captain. Alter your course 20 degrees, unquote. And like lightning comes the reply, quote, "I'm a seaman second class. Change your course immediately 20 degrees, unquote. Well, he said his captain was just livid. And he shouts to him, he said, "You send this message, quote, 'I am a battleship. For the last time, you change your course 20 degrees, unquote. And without a moment of hesitation comes the reply, now accompanied by flashing light, quote, "I am the lighthouse," unquote. Frank was there on the bridge. He said, a now humbler captain, for the sake of the lives of all on board, all under his care, the captain changed the course immediately, according to the light and the directions of the lighthouse. Where would we be without the light of God in Jesus Christ? Praise God, we'll never have to know that, but we must always follow that light. And we can, because nothing will separate us from that light of God in Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. In the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. He gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you." Likewise, after supper, Jesus took the cup, and again, after he had given thanks, he gave it to the disciples, saying, "Drink all of this. This is my blood of the new covenant, shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The form of communion, of course, is intinction. There will be two stations here. If you are a visitor, just trust the ushers. Great hospitality here, second to none. Got to brag on them. They'll get you safely to the station. They'll give you direction, and they'll help guide you back to your pew. But just come, take the bread, representing the body of the Savior, dip it into the cup, representing the blood of Jesus Christ, and take and eat and give God thanksgiving for the greatest love that the universe has ever known. This time I'm going to invite Brother Dave, and I'm going to invite Gail and Karen, who will be serving the other station.
Thank you.
this time, let us serve the Lord through the morning offering. Let us pray together. What can we offer in thanksgiving for the gift of light and life and love we have received from you and from your beloved community here on earth? We offer our all, our resources, our energy, our time, our very selves to answer your call and to follow without fear. Amen. You know, I've had brothers and sisters who have commiserated with me about the cost of the propane. And it is no joke. It's 200%, sometimes even more than that. Now, for Laura and me, that's going to be an ouch. But we're going to make it. What about the families out there that are going to have to make a decision between heat and food, right? More than ever, if you've got a love offering for the local needs, this is a time to go ahead and bring it during the closing hymn, wonderful closing hymn, 600 wonderful words of life.
Wonderful words of love.
Now may the love of God the Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the communion, the fellowship with the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us all now and forever. Amen.